I want to start out by talking a little bit about my personal history with praying people through the Holy Ghost. I've been raised in church. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost when I was 4 years old and began to respond to what I believe were the giftings of God in my life at a very young age, and begin to witness the Lord moving and working in me and through me in different avenues of ministry. Throughout that time, and I'm just going to reference, let's just say from age 16 or 17 to the present day, almost 29, so 13 years. I'm only going to reference that period of time because before that, I'm not saying that it's irrelevant, but it's difficult for me to assimilate to that time because a lot of the memories of it are so in and out. There's some parts of it that stick out to me. Some of them are just completely washed away. So going back to about 16, 17 years old, there were many people over that period of time that I prayed with to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were typically people who came and presented themselves in an altar and said, I want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want the Spirit of God in my life, and I'm ready to receive it. And they would come and present themselves before the Lord. Now, I can honestly tell you tonight that in that 13-year period, or not, I shouldn't say 13-year, I have to go back to about age 27, and I'll explain that in a second. But in that period of time, I don't remember ever one of those people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, I only tell you that to tell you the place of frustration I was at in my life when back in 2007, I believe, in Wapato, when we had a manifest meeting on Saturday afternoon, some of you were there, Brother Wright taught a session, about an hour and a half long session, on how to pray somebody through to the Holy Ghost. Okay? So from, I would have been about 26 years old at that time. So from the age of 16 to 26, I've prayed for people, a number of people. I can't even remember. I couldn't even tell you a numerical value of the people that I prayed with to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, what that did to me in my life was it caused a lack of faith in me to the place where I avoided even praying with anyone who needed the Holy Ghost. And the reason I did that is because I knew they weren't going to get it. Now, I hate to say that, be that honest with you, but I just, because what I realized now was a lack of knowledge and understanding of how someone received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the process of someone receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I would simply just go up there and lay hands on somebody and begin to pray for them. Just pray, God, fill them with the Holy Ghost. I even tried, I'd put my hands on their head and say, receive you the Holy Ghost. Try to command them to get the Holy Ghost. And because I didn't have an understanding of it, I wasn't imparting an understanding to them or giving them any knowledge of what they were supposed to do. And so it was like this teeter-totter here, back and forth, I don't know, you don't know, I don't know, you don't know. And I'm sure there were people who left frustrated, and me most of all was even more frustrated. Referencing back to the age that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I was actually on the phone today with my mom. She was asking me what I was doing tonight, and I was explaining this to her, and I said, Mom, I don't remember 4 years old. Now, many of you probably know Evangelist Loretta Smalley prayed me through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Very powerful woman of God. There was a whole congregation there that I was the only one that received the Holy Ghost, and so people knew I got the Holy Ghost. And I asked my mom that, I said, can you describe to me that night, the day that I received the Holy Ghost? Because I didn't remember it. I couldn't recall it. In fact, in the last few weeks, I've sat down and tried to think and rack my brain and go back to that time. Okay? I only say that to help you understand, if I didn't remember how I got there in the first place, okay, how can I tell someone else how to get there? It's like me giving driving directions to a place I've never driven to. I can tell Brother Cool how to get to Vallejo, California, but because I've never driven to Vallejo, California, I can only give you what Google Maps or what I can get off an atlas will instruct me concerning. I could say you should probably go down to Highway 97 and cut across and do all this, but when I've driven there, I can say, you need to go down to exit 24. Take exit 24 and go west. And it brings a whole nother dimension to my communication with him now. And it's no different with helping someone to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Once I've been there myself and I know how it is I get there and how I get to that place where I yield myself to God, now with confidence, I can approach somebody, whether it's in my home, on my front, in my front room, on my couch, or whether it's in this building at the altar in a service, or whether it's in the grocery store, in a Starbucks, wherever it is, I have the confidence to say, if you want the Holy Ghost, here's what you need to do. We're going to talk about those things tonight. But in that season of time, I had all this frustration. Here's what I believed. I somehow thought, I don't know where I got this at, but I somehow thought that God was just going to come down by me as a minister of the gospel, laying my hands on their head, that God was just going to somehow come down and overtake them. And they would just start speaking in tongues. That's what I thought. And so for 10 years, I walked around putting my hands on people's head, praying for them to see the Holy Ghost, telling them you need to worship God. And then, you know, you're going to begin to speak in other tongues. And that's what I said. After sitting in that session in Wapato two years ago now, and receiving the ministry that I'm talking to you, I guess it was 2008, receiving the ministry that I'm talking to you about today, just in an hour and a half session that night, we went into a Holy Ghost crusade. Some of you were there. And in a matter of 10 minutes, I prayed with three different people, and all three of them received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Now, for my whole life, I've been going around laying hands on people, preaching from a pulpit that God was going to fill people with the Holy Ghost. And now here I am in 10 minutes of time, my whole life's changed. And I remember that night just shaking my head and thinking, what in the world just happened? From that time to today, I went home, and because that audio was uploaded to the church website, I began to listen to it over and over and over and over and over and over again. I'm not even going to try to tell you how many times I've listened to that, but I wanted to know that. Because I was at the place where I was angry at God. Am I missing something here? Is there something wrong with me? Did I do something wrong that you won't fill anyone with the Holy Ghost in my ministry? Well, now here I am. I just experienced these three people, and I can't even tell you what happened that night. I just began to put to practice the things that I learned. So I went home, began to listen to this over and over and over again. And it wasn't until August of this year, something just transpired in my life, and I began to be presented with people who needed to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There was a young man that came in on a Sunday who wanted to receive the Holy Ghost. There was some young men in a youth camp that presented themselves. They wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it took a little bit of boldness on my part. I was a little bit standoffish, because I approached these people, they were praying for the Holy Ghost, and I'm like, okay, young man, we can keep praying. We can go through all these motions we've been going through. Or I can stop you and have this conversation with you and explain to you the things we're going to talk about tonight, and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost just like that. Well, I witnessed that happening, and as I stepped out and began to speak those things, I began to see it happen. Well, after the first one happened, man, I was on cloud nine. I thought, wow, that was easy. That was simple. Next night, another one came. Did the same thing. He got the Holy Ghost. The third night, another one came. He got the Holy Ghost. I thought, wow, this is easy. These are just principles from the Word of God that if I'll put them into practice, and I'll allow them to be at work in my life, God will use me and can use me as a tool to see people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many want to be an instrument of God in people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost? That's why we're here tonight. Okay, so just to give you a little bit of history of where I'm at. So I'm not setting up here tonight with all the answers. I'm just going to share with you my experiences, what the Lord has led me to, and where we're at today. Okay? So the first point, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 said, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift." Everybody say the gift. Yes. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay? The Holy Ghost is a gift. How many of you in here have ever got a gift? How easy was a gift to receive? very easy. The only contingency there is, the only hard part there is about me getting a gift is me receiving it. Typically, the person that's presenting the gift desires to give it to me. They had me in mind when they bought it. And if you're my wife, she had me in mind all the way home from the store. Even if Christmas is a month away. And she can't wait to give it to me because she loves giving gifts. And all I have to do when she comes home and she presents that gift to me is say, thank you. Thank you. And I reach out and I take it and I now possess that gift. Now, if I told Brother Thompson to receive this and I pulled it back a few times and I pulled it back a few times, after a while, what's he going to do? He's not going to reach out for it anymore. Okay? Receiving the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost, God doesn't operate that way. He doesn't say, here's the Holy Ghost, Brother Thompson. Oh, no, I'm not going to give it to you today. Oh, here's the Holy Ghost, Brother David. Oh, no, I'm not going to give it to you today. He simply says, here's the gift. Verse 39 said, the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's yours. The gift's yours. All I have to do is receive it. And so I have to approach God, whether I'm the person that desires to receive the gift or whether I'm the person that's praying with someone to receive the gift. I have to come with the understanding that it is easy. Everybody say easy. It's easy to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In fact, I'll make this statement tonight that receiving the Holy Ghost is the most simple thing you'll do in your walk with God. It's the most simple thing you'll do in your walk with God because there's all kinds of trials and tests that we endure. And so looking back, receiving the Holy Ghost is the most simple thing. It's the easiest thing you'll do in your walk with God. Now, you're probably saying, you're crazy. I believe that God can bring us to a place of revelation and understanding from His Word where you and you alone, not because someone tells you, come to the understanding that it is simple, it is easy to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. As easy as I receive my birthday gifts, I can receive the Holy Ghost. Okay? Gifts are typically not earned. They're automatic. I know that when my birthday comes around, unless I'm broke, and my checking account's empty, my wife's going to have gifts for me. I know that. I don't have to do anything special to earn them. I just wake up that morning and, it's my birthday, I got gifts. I don't have to go run a mile. I don't have to pay a bunch of money out of my pocket. There's nothing that I can do to earn that gift. Okay? And this is really important for you to understand because you have to pass this knowledge and understanding on to the person who's desiring to receive the gift, who's going to pray for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because sometimes people get the idea in their head that they can earn this or this is something that they have to earn. And so they'll come up here and they'll say, oh please Jesus, oh please, please Lord, oh please give me the Holy Ghost. Stop begging! There's no need to beg. This is a gift. It's got your name on it. He promised it to you. Thank Him for it. I was praying with someone a few weeks ago and they kept saying, oh Jesus, I'm so sorry. Oh Jesus, I'm so sorry. Oh Jesus, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I messed up so bad. And I wasn't the one who was working with the person that we'll talk about a little later, the labor and delivery nurse that we're going to call him. Or the midwife. I wasn't the person doing that. I was just assisting in prayer. You know, Lord Jesus, bless them. Lord Jesus, bless them. And I wanted to get a hold of that person and say, stop asking for forgiveness. You asked 5 minutes ago and He forgave you. You don't have to earn this. It's yours. Just receive it. Just receive it. And so it's important that my communication to a person who presents themselves before God and says, I want the Holy Ghost. When I communicate, then my communication needs to be, are you ready to receive the gift? It's a gift. Are you ready to receive it? God's giving it to you. Are you ready to receive it? It's available for you today. So to wrap up that first part, the Holy Ghost is a gift. It's easy to receive and it can't be earned. I can't pray long enough up here to get the Holy Ghost. And I can't make myself out to be a bad enough person to God and sorry enough for all the sins I've committed to receive the Holy Ghost. Okay? Number two. The Holy Ghost was poured out in Acts chapter 2. We all agree on that tonight? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. They were sent to wait upon it until that point. He told them several places throughout the Gospels, go and tarry in Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem and wait upon the promise of the Father. Tarry thee. Tarry there. Be there. Go wait. I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon you. Acts chapter 1, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And there was all these promises. And so you find a group of people there waiting. They presented themselves before the Lord, waiting and tarrying for the Holy Ghost to be poured out. Someone said to me one time, you know, some people have to pray longer because the Bible says that we have to wait on the Lord. We have to tarry on the Holy Ghost. No, the Lord told them to go tarrying. We wait. The only place I see someone tarrying to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost was in Acts chapter 1. It's the only place I see it. After Acts chapter 1, the Holy Ghost was poured out in Acts chapter 2. And after that, the Holy Ghost was automatic. Acts chapter 2 and verse 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Suddenly. Suddenly. Everybody say suddenly. Acts chapter 8 verse 17. Then laid they their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. While their hands were being laid on their head, they began to receive the Holy Ghost. Doesn't say they tarried for 2 days. Didn't say they tarried for 2 hours. Immediately. Acts chapter 10. If you start reading 43, 44, 45, you'll find there the verses tell us that while Peter yet spake these words. Wait a minute. They're waiting for the altar call. No. While he yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Anybody who was in earshot of the word, the Holy Ghost fell on them. They began to speak with other tongues and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 19. As Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. As he laid his hands on them. Any doubt in your mind now that there's no tarrying? We're going to learn tonight why people end up tarrying for the Holy Ghost. I'm going to make this statement and I'm not just saying this to say this. I say this because I truly believe this, and I put it in writing, so you can't hold it against me. Receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost should be automatic for anyone who comes into our meetings hungry. I'll say that again. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost should be automatic for anyone who comes into our meetings hungry. And you'll understand that statement by the time we get to the end of all that we're going to talk about tonight, the end of the second page. There isn't any reason for someone who comes into a service, a life group, a jail meeting, a Bible study in your home, whatever it is, there's no reason that if they come in and they say, sir, ma'am, I want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I see it in the Word of God. I desire this in my life. Can you pray with me to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? With the understanding and the knowledge of the Word of God and what we're looking at here tonight, there is no reason that they can't receive it in that moment of time. Now, we're going to look at some reasons that they won't, some things that will be that can be hindrances in their life to them receiving the gift in that meeting. We had a life group at our house a few weeks ago, and we've had two or three people coming for a while that didn't have the Holy Ghost. And I'll never forget that day. Just tell my wife, you know what? We're going to pray tonight before this meeting starts. We're coming into this meeting And I'm believing God that before they leave the house, they're going to get the Holy Ghost. I just made up in my mind, you know what? And one of them I met with the day before, and I started discussing some of these things with them. I prepped them. I said, when you come in tomorrow night, I want you to come ready to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they agreed to it. They said, yes, we're coming. We're ready. That night, they received the Holy Ghost and another young girl. We talked about some of these principles that we're talking about tonight. In just, what, maybe 10, 15 minutes of time. It's very simple, very easy, but just me as an individual having a determination that if people are coming into my presence hungry, if people are coming into my company hungry, I don't want them to leave without it. It's that important to me. Okay? I want to talk a little bit about how to address those who desire to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is probably some of the awkwardness that some of us deal with. I'll just be honest and say I deal with some of the awkwardness sometimes with people, even as a minister of the gospel. Somebody who's supposedly been doing this for all this time, I still battle a little bit of awkwardness sometimes. Okay? There's some of that I have to press through. Some of that's my flesh. I got to press through that. Okay? There has to be some things addressed when somebody says, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In most settings, most of the opportunity that we have to pray with someone to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost is, number one, going to be in our services, our gatherings. Okay? It's probably going to be in the altar. Someone's going to come in, let's say, Brother David's a first-time visitor or second-time visitor. Maybe this is third or fourth time. He's been in a life group. He understands that he needs to receive the Holy Ghost. He understands what the Holy Ghost is. And the Lord begins to deal with him on a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday morning, wherever, you know, if he's in Wapato or Puyallup, and he says, you know what? Today's the day I'm ready to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he comes up and he walks up here on his own and he throws his hands up in the air. And he begins to pray for God to receive, for God to fill him with the Holy Ghost. Okay? That is where you or I come in. Because obviously somebody's gonna come and they're gonna present themselves to David. They're gonna either lay hands on him. You know, we're being an apostolic church. Everybody's gonna lay hands on somebody. And we're all gonna find somebody to pray with at some point in an altar call. That's just that's just natural to us. Okay? But there's some things that some questions that you can ask, some things that you can address with him when he comes to the altar. They're going to give you a little bit better understanding of where to go with him. Okay? You ever heard of the statement, the blind leading the blind? That's what causes the frustration that I dealt with for that 10 years in ministry that I described to you. So let's say, why don't you step up here, David, for a second. So let's say Brother David comes in and he's receiving the Holy Ghost, or he desires to receive the Holy Ghost. The first question I'm going to ask him, thank you for coming up here today. Thank you for being here today. I'm just excited to see what God's doing in your life. Do you know what the Holy Ghost is? Do you understand what the Holy Ghost is?
No.
No, okay. Now, at that point, that's a good answer. Because at that point, I'm not going to say, okay, well, just lift your hands because God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. He's going to be like, okay, you said so. Okay? I have the ability, and you have the ability, that in 1.5, 2 minutes of time, I can explain to David what the Holy Ghost is and why he needs the Holy Ghost in his life. David, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God indwelling in man. Do you feel something weird today? If this is your first time, you probably don't understand it, but you're just feeling it. There's just an atmosphere that's bringing a feeling to you, a sensation that you've never felt before. And you don't understand what it is. Maybe you got goosebumps. Maybe your skin's crawling and you think it's all weird. Don't fear that. That's the power of God that you're feeling. These people running around here and acting crazy, that they're responding to the Spirit of God in their lives. Now that Spirit that you're feeling on the outside, God wants to take that and put that on the inside. That power that the book of Romans talks about, that the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, if that Spirit dwells in you, now that was a pretty powerful deal, wasn't it? Now, I'm talking very plainly and very, very clearly to him, just giving him a very limited knowledge of what the Holy Ghost is. And then I may go to John chapter 3. Do you understand, David, that the Scripture says that unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you can't enter into the kingdom of God? This is an important step along the way in the new birth experience. And God wants to fill you with His Spirit today. He's got the gift of His Spirit that He wants to put within you today. Okay? Now, I've just taken a couple of minutes. I went a little bit faster than I would in that setting. I would go a little bit slower and explain some things to him. But I just took a couple of minutes and I've just given him a little bit of knowledge of what the Holy Ghost is. The second question I'm going to ask him, let's say he said, do you know what the Holy Ghost is? If you said yes, have you ever received the gift of the Holy Ghost?
No.
Okay. You've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Are you ready to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if he says, yes, I've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, my next question to him would be, how long has it been since you've spoken tongues? How long has it been since you've had a liberty to pray in the Spirit? Now, if this is his first time back and he says, well, I received the Holy Ghost when I was 10 years old, I know that it's probably been a while. And that God's wanting to renew His Spirit within this young man. He's wanting to stir up the gift of God within him. Okay? And so I'm going to say, would you like to pray to receive the Holy Ghost or to renew the Holy Ghost? Yes, I would. I'm wanting to come back to God. And so I'm going to probably follow a lot of the same steps that we're talking about here today. But it's an important question. If he has received the Holy Ghost and I'll answer that question and I start talking to him about how to receive the Holy Ghost, now I'm bringing confusion into his mind. Especially if we deal with situations sometimes where people came in, they received the Holy Ghost, and maybe, you know, the Bible talks about how the cares of life, thorns, grew up, choked them out. Maybe they only lasted a week. Maybe their relationship with God never really got rooted and they disappeared. And 10, 15 years later, they remember that experience that they had. And maybe they're in a jail cell. Maybe they're stumbling off the street. Steve Mayer stumbling off the street one day and said, man, I want to get right with God and I'm going to go back to the Pentecostal church that my roots were in. Okay? Now he comes in. He's already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to say you need to receive the Holy Ghost. Have you ever received the Holy Ghost? If he says yes, it's like, okay, well, you need to renew it. It's obvious you need to renew the Holy Ghost within you. If I don't ask him that question and I start telling him he needs to receive the Holy Ghost and I start stepping him through all that's going on, now there's confusion in his mind. Well, I thought I had this. It's an important question to ask. Have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost? And then depending on their answer, gives me the direction where to go. Okay. The third question I need to ask him, which I mentioned, are you ready to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? He said yes. Okay. Stand back up. Be a number three. Where am I as the labor and delivery nurse in this process, or what I'll call the midwife? I'm just here to assist them in receiving the gift. Okay? I'm not the dominant force here. I'm not here to make a scene. I'm not here to distract him, because in order for him to receive the Holy Ghost, his mind needs to be on Jesus. His thought process needs to be on Jesus. So if I'm a huge distraction, it's going to be really hard for him to concentrate. Okay? Let's step out here in the aisle. Now, here's where I need to place myself. I need to put myself right in front of David. This is really important. I see people sometimes, someone comes up to pray for the Holy Ghost, they got their hands lifted, they're worshiping God, and there's three or four people standing behind them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Jesus. And this poor guy's been speaking in tongues for 30 minutes, and nobody knows it. And then someone, when he gets done praying, he finally gives up, gets done praying, someone goes, man, you're going to get the Holy Ghost soon, okay? You just keep coming back up here. This poor guy's like, oh, I thought I had it. Well, I guess that's not the Holy Ghost. So he walks away, and then for the next 25 years, every service, someone asks if someone's received the Holy Ghost, he presents himself, I need to receive the Holy Ghost. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. And they keep presenting themselves over and over again, and they never get back to that place because in their minds, they assimilate or they make reference back to that time that, well, I thought that was it, but they told me that I keep seeking, I find it, so I guess I didn't get it. Okay, you can be seated for a second. I'm there to assist, not distract. As of late, I've been very careful about even putting my hands on them until I feel like it's time. It's really critical to be sensitive to the Lord. Whether it's in your front room or whether it's in this room, be very sensitive to the Lord. Okay? Maybe you've noticed this. I've noticed a couple times lately. This has been good for me. Someone's been praying, a new person. Someone's praying. One of them was in our life group. You know, here I am, apostolic. I'm just going to pray for them. Well, they've got their hands up. Their eyes are closed. Their mind's on Jesus. They're sincerely seeking the Lord. And all of a sudden, there's a hand on their head. It freaks them out. I had someone jump away from me. Whoa! Okay? Now they're a little bit distracted. Their mind was on Jesus. They were in this spiritual place, and they were praying and waiting on the Lord. Now all of a sudden, they're startled. What's going on here? I've got to be very careful, be very sensitive to that. And so I've started, when I begin to pray with them to receive the Holy Ghost, I'm in front of them, and I wrote something down on here that I think is very critical. Either my ears close to their mouth or their mouth's within eyesight of me all the time. I want to hear what they're saying. I want to see what they're saying. And there are times when I lay hands on somebody, I'm now feeling what they're feeling. There's a transference that goes on. What they're sensing, what they're feeling in the spirit, I'm beginning to feel. But I can also visually see that on somebody. I can visually begin to see when the Holy Ghost is beginning to move on them. And now I'm standing here. He's praying, and I'm beginning to witness the Holy Ghost is moving on him. I begin to sense that. I begin to see it in his actions, in his demeanor, his facial expressions. The Lord's beginning to move on him. And I can say, that's it, David. That's it. That's the Holy Ghost right there. Now, if I got my eyes closed and I'm, this guy could have his eyes open going, what in the world is going on? And I've seen some of those situations. I've done it myself where I've had my eyes closed and I'm still lost in the spirit. And I get done praying, open my eyes, and they're standing there. Because they don't know what to do. They've never prayed before in their lives other than, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's all they've ever prayed. Or God give me a new bike. Or God help me on this test. That's been the extent of their prayer. They don't know what else to do. That's my job, to help them, to instruct them. Okay, David, I want you to begin to worship God. Now, when I worship God, I need to open my mouth and begin to tell him how much I love him. I love you, Jesus. I want you to just begin to praise him from your heart. Whatever words you can come up with in your mind to tell God how much you love him. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for bringing me to this place today. Thank you for giving me the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. I'm instructing him. I'm helping him. This guy's never prayed before. He feels God. He's got the Holy Ghost goosebumps on the outside. Someone just, you know, some lady behind him was getting blessed, or some gentleman in front of him was getting blessed, and he's like, wow, I want what they got. I want what they got, but I don't even know how to pray. I got to be sensitive to those things. You know, you can usually tell in about 2 or 3 seconds when you say, okay, let's pray together. Let's pray together. And I begin to pray, and I'm not, in the name of Jesus! No, Father, you see Troy today. He's presenting himself before you. He's come to your house today, hungering and seeking after you. Now, I'm also listening. Well, Troy's saying, yeah, Lord, please. Yes, Lord, please. And I'm thinking, okay, he's never prayed. He doesn't know how to pray. Now I can talk to him. That's it, Troy. Just talk to him. Ask him to forgive you right now. Ask him to work in your life right now. Now we're communicating. I'm helping him. I'm assisting him. I'm not distracting him. Okay? C is instruction from you to the person desiring to receive the gift. The first thing we have to do, my first approach to a person and my initial communication with them in prayer, is we're going to pray a quick prayer of repentance. We're going to ask God to forgive us of all our sins. There ain't any of us here, myself included. I'm talking to you like I talk to them. There ain't anybody in this room, myself included, who isn't in need of forgiveness every day. And so we're going to confess our sins before God right now. We're going to ask him to forgive us. Now, when you get done asking for forgiveness, I want you at that point to begin thanking him for forgiving you. and begin to worship him. Because if you don't instruct them concerning that, they'll sit there the rest of the day and tell God how bad they are. Because they're usually, the reason they've come to the altar is because they're under conviction. They're feeling the condemnation of the word that was preached. It's heavy on them. Oh man, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of repentance. I'm in need of forgiveness. And so they come and sometimes they're overwhelmed and that's all they want to do. Oh God, I'm sorry. I lived this whole life of 100 years in full of sin and blah, 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 blah. And it's our job to say, hey, listen, when you ask for forgiveness, he's faithful and just to forgive you. When you ask, it's done. Receive it. Thank him for it and walk in it. Now start praising him. Now start worshiping him. That's my initial communication in prayer with him. Repentance. The second is instruction on what to pray or how to pray or to praise God. I want you to begin to lift up your voice. Open your mouth and lift up your voice. And tell God how much you love him. Talk to him like you're talking to your best friend. That's good. That's awesome. And that's powerful praise. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. That's powerful. Yes, that's awesome. I love you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. We're thankful today for you. We're thankful for your presence that we feel right now. I'm helping them. I was praying with a man on Friday night. He was repeating every word I said. I could tell he never prayed before. He was repeating every single word I said. He didn't know what to say. He was at a loss. Now, if I get all crazy and apostolic on him, the poor guy would lose his place. He wouldn't have nothing to say. He'd just lost. And usually what they do is they just stop. They just stop. They don't know what to do. I'm giving them instruction on what to pray or how to pray. What they're going to feel as they begin to open their mouth and praise God. I mean, I'm explaining these feelings to them. I don't want them to get freaked out. You might feel overwhelmed. As you begin to praise God, you just might suddenly feel overwhelmed with emotion. I don't know what you're going to experience. All of us react differently in the presence of God. Some of us feel like crying. You see people around here, they start jumping and shouting and running around. Yeah, I can't explain to you what you're going to feel. How you're going to react when you begin to feel the presence of God. But if you feel like crying, don't hold that back. That's the love of God. That's you responding to the love of God in your life. Just let it flow out of you. Okay? I'm giving them a little bit of instruction. That way they know and understand. Now here, this is probably the most important. These last two points are the most important parts of praying with anyone desiring to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Number one, regardless of whatever emotion that they're feeling at that moment in time, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not an emotional experience. It's a spiritual experience. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not an emotional experience, it's a spiritual experience. This is very important. In our daily walk with God, we must find a place every day of praying in the Spirit. Okay? It's of utmost importance. Anyone who receives the gift of the Holy Ghost, if they don't find a place of or a liberty in praying in the Holy Ghost every single day, they will find themselves walking away from God, sliding away from God. Okay? Now, there is a critical importance of tying this initial experience of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost into them daily walking in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. Okay? Because if they don't understand how they got to that place initially, if they don't have an understanding of how they received the gift of the Holy Ghost and what transpired in their spirit and what they yielded themselves to, then they will spend their entire life trying to figure out how they got there. If you want to hear a really funny story about that, you need to go online and listen to Brother Wright tell his testimony of when he received the Holy Ghost and how long it took him after that to find that liberty of praying in the Spirit. He talked about praying hours a day just to get there. I talked to a guy a couple of days ago, last week. who was telling me that he thought that was only somewhere you went after a few hours of praying, and that was the deep place of God. Part of the reason that we experience that is because that's how long it took us to get there initially. That's how long it took us to yield initially. And so we think that that's the process. That's why it's very important for us to understand and help that person who is desiring to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost to understand how they're going to get there and how it's going to happen in their life. Because if it's Sunday afternoon or Monday morning when they get up, I want them to have a liberty to go back to that place and begin to allow the Spirit of God to pray through them. I want that. They need that. Okay? But if all it is to them is a very emotional experience, and here's the critical key to all this. We all experience different, how do I explain this? I find myself oftentimes referring back to certain places in my life. Places, emotional experiences stick out to me. Okay, where when I say an emotional experience, a place where I was just deeply moved by God. Maybe I just sat there. Have been times where I would just sit in a pew and just weep and weep and weep under the presence of God, and I couldn't explain why. I couldn't stop. It was almost uncontrollable, and I would just sit there, and I was just so overwhelmed in the presence of God that I would just weep. There have been other times where I was uncontrollable, and I would just find myself dancing in the Spirit, and I was just lost in the power of God, and I was overwhelmed. It was a very emotional experience, okay? And sometimes because of the high of that quote-unquote emotional experience, I find myself trying to go back there and recreate that. That's human nature. It was awesome. It was powerful. Man, I want to go there again. Well, number one, the way that the Lord moves in my life may not be the same way that He moves in Brother Cool's life. And the same emotion that I feel under the presence of God, especially a powerful manifestation of the presence of God, may not be the same way that Sister Lindsay feels or reacts under a great manifestation of the power of God. And so if my experience is based on what I see in her and me trying to recreate that, then I'm always going to be empty. And this is why we have to be careful with creating a huge emotional experience for a person when they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I had a person tell me the other day, man, it was like electricity went through my body and I was just uncontrolled and I couldn't even hardly hold myself up. I was just so overwhelmed. And they said that I began to pray in the Spirit and begin to receive the Holy Ghost, but I don't remember that. I don't remember how I got there. And I've just been trying to recreate that, get that feeling back that I had, and I can't get there. I'm scared. Okay, well, I can't guarantee you that you ever feel that way again. But I can guarantee you that there is a place in the Spirit that you can go to every single day. And I can tell you how you get there. I can't guarantee you what's going to happen when you get there. You may not even know what's going to happen. You may not even witness what happens when you get there. But I can tell you how to get there. Okay? So it's important that our instruction in receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost be based on these principles. This spiritual experience of me yielding myself to God and not on an emotional high. I'm convinced that there have been some people in my life in ministry that they were only living for God for that emotional high. I remember praying for one guy one time, and this was his exact words, and I lie not. Oh, Jesus, I want that Holy Ghost high again. I thought, what in the world are you talking about? The first time he ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said he felt so high, it was like he was on drugs. That was his communication to me afterwards, and I stopped him and said, what are you talking about? And so the rest of his days and you know, here we are a few years later removed from him receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he's praying for God to recreate that experience in his life. And he can't get back there, so he thinks something's wrong with him. This is really important. This is an act of me yielding myself to God. This is an act of me yielding my member to the Holy Ghost and allowing the Spirit of God to flow through me. Okay? Okay. Now, I don't say that to a person who's praying for the Holy Ghost. But here's what my communication is. Okay, now we're going to begin to pray for the Holy Ghost. Now, we're going to, when we begin, I'm going to pray a quick prayer of repentance, okay, with you. You can repeat it after me, or you know your heart. God knows your heart. You can ask for forgiveness. You can name things if you want, or you can just ask, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my wrongdoing, the path that I'm on. I want to go a new direction in life. I'll explain that then. We're going to pray that together. Like I said previously, when you get done asking for forgiveness, you're forgiven. You just need to begin to thank him. And I make that own transition so that they know, okay, it's time. We're done. We're done asking for forgiveness. We're going to begin to praise God. We're going to love God. Okay. Now, when you get to that point, now, again, this is the communication I'm having with them. When you get to that point and you're beginning to praise God, you're praising with your understanding. God, I love you. And you're going to work hard. You're going to find yourself after about 45 seconds. You're going to be working really hard to find words to tell God how great he is to you. But as you begin with your understanding to praise God, you're going to begin to feel something inside of you. And as you find the end of your understanding and you're out of things to say, you're going to begin to feel the Spirit of God moving on the inside of you. That's his Spirit. That's the utterance of the Spirit wanting to pray through you. I don't know. The Scripture describes it in Romans, the 8th chapter, as groanings, which cannot be uttered. I don't know what it's going to come out like. But I simply have to yield myself to that utterance of the Spirit, okay? And I'm explaining this to them. I want them to understand that. It's important here. This isn't something they can figure out with their brain. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, says that when I am praying in the Spirit, when the Spirit's praying through me, my understanding is unfruitful. It's important for them to understand that when they are praying to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, their understanding, it's not going to make any sense to them. So if they're trying to figure this out and they're trying to make sense of it all up here, they're not going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because the receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost is not based on what I think or how I can reason or ration it out. This becomes unfruitful. And the utterance of the Spirit begins to flow through me. I'm not going to make stuff up here. Okay? I begin to explain this to them. To receive the Holy Ghost, this is the statement that I make to them. To receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to stop praying in English or Spanish or whatever your native tongue is. You're going to have to stop praying in that language and begin to allow the utterance of the Spirit to be prayed through you. You are going to have to begin to pray the utterance of the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. Do you understand that? You can't speak two languages at one time. You will speak a language other than your own, your native tongue, when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, you can't do that at the same time you're speaking your native tongue. Can you speak two languages at once? Nope, you can't. Can you? Nope, didn't think so. It's important for them to understand that. And I explain that in this way. After I've said that, I explain that when they're praising God and they begin to feel that utterance come on them, they can't suppress that. They can't push that down. By faith, they have to make a transition. In that transition, they stop praying in their native language and begin to allow the utterance of the Spirit to be prayed through them. That's key. Because when I'm praying with them and I'm being sensitive to the Holy Ghost and I'm standing beside them, maybe I have my hand on their head, maybe I have a hand on their shoulder, whatever it is, I'm being sensitive. And if you'll stay plugged into the Spirit, okay, as that a sister, if you'll stay plugged into it, you're going to know in that moment of time when they're beginning to feel that utterance. And here's exactly what I say to them. That's it. That's the Holy Ghost. Now you need to make the transition. Don't suppress that. Make that transition. It's affirming to them. Now, I can't tell you when that is or how I know that. Because I walk in the Spirit. I'm born of the Spirit. I've received the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit every day. I just know when that transition's there. I'm sensitive to it. You can be sensitive to it. And I'll go, okay, you're ready. God doesn't have a prayer meter up there. Okay, you've been praying for exactly 5 hours, 6 minutes for the Holy Ghost. Boom, you can have it. No, no, no. As soon as they will give way to that utterance, they can have it. It's that easy. And so it's important to me, it's important for me as that labor and delivery nurse. For all you who've had any kids, they're coaching, they're instructing. They're not getting in the way. They're not being a distraction. They're just helping you. Breathe, breathe, breathe. Push, push, push. We had a couple of situations in my lifetime. You've probably never seen this, but we'd have somebody, they'd start praying for the Holy Ghost over here. And they'd have four or five people around them, usually hand on the head, you know, hand on the shoulder. And they'd push and push and push. And that poor person would do this. They'd get rocked until, before they knew it, by the end of the night, they were clear over here on this side of the church. And they were still praying for the Holy Ghost. And people were screaming at them, spitting on them, their hair's all messed up, they're sweating. And they always look like they've been crucified on a cross, because by that time they're, oh, Jesus, Jesus. One poor kid one night, I don't know what he was saying. I think somebody thought he was speaking in tongues, and the poor guy just couldn't talk anymore. He was so worn out. He was, oh, Lord, oh, Jesus. He just needed someone to assist him. Give way to the utterance of the Spirit, young man. You don't got to spend all night up here. This is really critical. And this is the part that you and I have to play. Okay? Come back over, David. A couple of weeks ago, I'm going to show you the importance of this. Come stand right here. Can you see him on the camera okay right there? A couple of weeks ago, I witnessed some people praying for a lady. I just stood off to the side for a few minutes. She was, man, the Holy Ghost was all over. She was weeping. She was experiencing some emotion. The Holy Ghost was in the building. People were dancing around and shouting and jumping. And this lady, she had her hands lifted up. The tears were pouring down her face. And there were four or five people around her. There was like somebody right here, somebody right here, somebody right here, somebody right here. And they were doing, woo! Doing this. And then after a few minutes, somebody decided to get in front of her. Praise God. And this person was standing about this far away. And they were doing this to her. And I watched this for about 10, 15 minutes. I mean, I'm thinking, anytime this lady's going to get the Holy Ghost. All I did was, I walked up behind her. A few of these people decided they lost faith. They gave up. They left. There was open parking spaces. So I came up, placed myself there, put my hand on her shoulder. I looked at the lady in front of me. I said, does she have the Holy Ghost? She said, no, she needs it. And so I leaned forward like this. And I said, ma'am, to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to stop praying in English and you're going to have to give way to the utterance of the Spirit that you're feeling right now. Okay? She said, okay. I put my hand on her head. She started speaking in tongues. Now, that was probably about 15 minutes overdue. Was it anything that I did? Was it by me touching her head? No! Just some simple instruction. Here's what you got to do. You're here. You're right there. It's about ready to explode out of your stomach. You got so much Holy Ghost. Just some simple instruction. Thanks, David. This is why these things are so critical. Because I've witnessed people who have been sincere in their walk with God, seeking after the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they seek and seek and seek and seek and seek and seek and seek. Man, I remember one poor guy from my teen years. I think I was 15. It took him 2.5 years to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he came to church every Sunday. 2.5 years. If I'd known then what I know now, I don't know if the case would have been any different, but I remember a lot of Sundays I prayed for him. And there were some Sundays that had more faith than others. This is really critical. something that, a question that I like to ask people in this initial, but we haven't even started praying yet, okay? I'll ask them, do you know anyone who speaks in two languages? Most of them will say, yeah, I know somebody who speaks two languages. Well, they speak Spanish and English? Oh, yeah. Have you ever noticed how they can just be talking in Spanish? For instance, I think Los Invitamos Iglesias, you're invited to church. Los Invitamos Iglesias. You're invited to church. I just spoke in two different languages. How did I do that? Oh, I don't know. Well, I just simply decided to stop speaking one language and start speaking another. They're like, oh, wow, that's pretty neat. Yeah, it's no different when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're going to stop speaking one language and make a decision to start speaking another. You're going to shut one valve off and open up the other. It's that easy. That's a very simple example and usually very easy to understand. I'm going to skip over D because we'll talk about that. So you've got somebody who's ready to receive. I'm there to assist, not to get my own blessing. Be sensitive as they pray. Know when the spirits move on them. Begin to instruct them. Let them pray 2 or 3 minutes. And if they've not received it, stop them. This is the hardest thing to do in Pentecost. This is the hardest thing they'll do. When I was at youth camp a few weeks ago, a couple of the kids that I prayed with to receive the Holy Ghost, they were already praying when I got there. You know how youth camps are. Those places, it's explosive. It's like apostolic dynamite. I mean, there are kids flying all over the place. I mean, we're on cloud nine, man. The place is just erupting, and you got some poor 14-year-old kid who just wants the Holy Ghost so bad. And he's got six guys around him who are determined to beat it into him before the service is over because they're charged up on faith. Preacher just preaching, anything is possible, and they're, you're going to get it. And here comes Nick. Hey, stop praying for a second. Stop praying. Stop. Hey, stop praying. Let me talk to you for a second. What? I just got the flow, man. We just got moving. We just got rocking. This is the hardest thing to do. Stop them. Talk to them. If you're gonna have, you gotta have the conversation that I just had in order for someone to understand these things that we just went through. What you're feeling right now is the Holy Ghost. The power of God's over. You just need to yield yourself. I'm stopped them. In each of those cases, when I stopped them, we went right back to praying. God filled them with the Holy Ghost. Okay? But in the case of someone praying for a couple of minutes, let's say someone prays for 2-3 minutes, and they're not making that transition, and you're feeling the Holy Ghost is all over them, you know the utterance is there. They're just not yielding to it. Stop them. Do you understand what you're feeling? Yes? Okay. Last week when we were in Stehekin, there was a young lady there who said she desired to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I had a conversation with her that I've just shared with you. We began to pray for her. Immediately, I mean within like 30 to 45 seconds, man, I could feel it. She could feel it. She started shaking a little bit. I told her, I said, there it is. I said, make that transition. Well, that went on for like 2 or 3 minutes and she just couldn't do it. She just wouldn't do it. So she stopped. I stopped her praying. I said, did you feel that? She said, yeah, I felt it. It was just like you explained it. I said, well, she goes, I'm just not ready to be out of control yet. She goes, because what I was feeling was going to make me stop speaking in English and those things. I'm just not ready to be out of control yet. Oh, okay, no problem. But you know what you were feeling right there? That was the Holy Ghost. And if you're riding your bike down the road, or you're out feeding the horses, you're in the kitchen washing dishes, you decide you're ready to lose control and yield yourself to God, just do it. Don't wait till you get back here next Sunday. Don't wait till you get to the next life group. Just yield yourself. Now, I could have stayed there and we probably could have prayed with her for 5-10 more minutes. And I'd have been really tired and she'd have probably been a little bit frustrated. And we just saved each other a whole bunch of time and a whole bunch of heartache. Now, if she just said, yeah, I'm feeling it, but I'm battling this. She'd explain. Now I can explain to her what's going on, how to get past that. And then we can start praying again. Again, I've had this mentality that I had to create an atmosphere where people could receive the Holy Ghost. Well, that atmosphere is just when us two start praying, or that person starts praying. And that atmosphere is created when they yield themselves. Now, there may be some atmospheres that aren't as easy to yield in as others, but that's as easy as it is. Now, if someone has prayed, I put on here, someone has prayed for more than 5 minutes to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost without success. They are, I'm sorry, that's a typo there. They are dealing with one or more of the following five issues. Someone who has prayed for more than 5 minutes and has not received the gift of the Holy Ghost is dealing with one of the following five issues. I'm going to run through these really fast, and then we'll talk about them individually. Number one, God will not give the Holy Ghost to someone with unrepented sins. That's why it's critical that when you just, as soon as you start praying, as soon as you begin to deal with them, just pray a prayer of forgiveness real quick. Just get it out of the way. That way you know there's nothing there. Okay? Secondly, if a person has knowledge of something that God would require of them, or knowledge of something in the Word of God that they refuse to obey, God will not give them the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32 said that God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. Okay? Now, again, I only disobeyed my parents when I did something they told me not to do. If my parents didn't tell me to do it and I did it anyway, that wasn't disobedience. So if they don't know, if they don't have knowledge of something in the Word of God and they're doing in their life, that's not disobedience. But if they know that to live in fornication is sin and they refuse to leave fornication, that's disobedience. Okay? And you have to address that. If you're praying with somebody, this happened to me. Back in the summer, I was praying with somebody. I said, the Lord began to deal with me about this. And I stopped them. It was kind of uncomfortable. I said, is there something in your life that the Lord's dealt with you about getting rid of that you're not getting rid of it? Well, yeah. Okay. Well, now we got to deal with that. We're trying to get this other issue over here, and you're not being obedient to the Word of God. And the Scripture says He can't give you the Holy Ghost unless you obey Him. Okay. I have got to believe, number three, C, I've got to believe that God is going to give me the Holy Ghost right now. Today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. Never tell someone, well, I guess it isn't your day. And unfortunately, I've told people that because I just didn't know what else to say. I was so disappointed. They were disappointed. And in my humanity, I said, well, man, I guess it isn't your day. You know, God will give you the Holy Ghost next time. No Bible for that. Luke says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. It's your day. It's your hour. Receive it. Even if they don't receive it, don't ever tell them that. But I've got to believe, and the receiver's got to believe. This is part of this initial conversation that I initiate before I even go into praying with them. I have got to believe. Now, I need to explain here. We're dealing with these five things. Okay. Number four is a person who will not worship Allah will not receive it. Number five, I must yield. God does not talk in tongues. I talk in tongues. He only gives the utterance. These five things. I'm telling you that I try to address as much as this stuff in that initial 2 minute conversation before we ever start praying. Okay. Now you can, now maybe, you know, in a situation, I usually very, 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 very seldomly in a service do I ever just run up to somebody as soon as they walk to the altar. I'll let somebody begin to pray and I'll begin to wait on the Lord. Lord, who do you want me to go pray with? Because I believe He'll lead me to people who are hungry and people who are needing and desiring the things of God. Okay. And so if the Lord leads me to somebody, usually they've already been praying. And so I'll immediately stop them and begin to go through these things that we've been talking about, okay? But number one, when we begin to pray, I don't care if somebody's been praying with them for a while, we're going to start all over, okay? This prayer forgiveness thing, we already take care of that in the initial prayer, okay? So we were already through number one. Number two, if a person has knowledge of something, that's something that I'm probably going to deal with after a few minutes, okay? Number three, I've got to believe that God is going to give me the Holy Ghost right now. That's my initial communication with them. Today's your day. God's going to give you the Holy Ghost right now. Okay? And then a person who will not worship audibly will not receive it. I have that communication right off the bat with him. You're going to need to open your mouth, okay? Have you ever tried to drink a cup of water without opening your mouth? Doesn't work. It goes all over you. It's just impossible. It's no different when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to open up your mouth and speak. You have to speak in tongues. God's going to give you the utterance, but you have to open up your mouth and speak. There was a poor kid that I prayed with the youth camp. That kid probably hated my guts after about 2 minutes. There was a night where they asked a whole bunch of kids to come up. They asked everybody to come up and use the Holy Ghost. It was like 14 people or something went up there. And then they asked all the ministry to come forward. Well, I went forward, and there was a whole bunch of adults there, some different people, and there was this one kid. And however it worked, I'm not going to say it was God. He was the last one available, and I was the last minister available. So we connected. This poor kid, we started praying, and he... And I prayed with him for a couple minutes, and finally I was like, okay, I got to be honest with him. He's not going to receive the Holy Ghost if he keeps praying like that. So I stopped him. I had this conversation with him we've had, and I said, his name was Nick. I said, Nick, you're going to have to open up your mouth to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay. So we started praying again. Let that go on for a couple more minutes. Nick, you're going to have to open. Do you want the Holy Ghost tonight?
Yeah, I want the Holy Ghost.
I mean, he's bawling. You're going to have to open up your mouth, bud. If you want to receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to open it. I'm telling you. If you want to receive it, open up your mouth. Oh, we're making progress now. A couple more minutes gone by. Nick, do you understand? Lift up your head, open up your mouth, and speak. That's how you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. It took a while, and I'm sure he was pretty angry with me by that time. But if you're telling me you're hungry for it, the Holy Ghost is all over you. You just, it's like mom trying to feed you some medicine or something. You know, you won't open up your mouth. God's not going to open up your mouth and just cause you to start speaking in tongues. Son, you got to open up your mouth and start talking. I don't know if I'd ever be that with anybody else, but this poor kid, I mean, he'd been up there every night. This was like night 3 of youth camp. He'd been up there every night praying for the Holy Ghost. And I felt so sorry for him. But nobody would talk to him like that. Nobody would tell him, son, open up your mouth and speak. That's all it took. As soon as he opened up his mouth, finally got him. You know, he couldn't get his head up. You know, he wanted to do this. You ever tried to drink a cup of water like that? Doesn't work. Want to do this. Lift up your head, confidence. I always tell him, come on, lift up your head. Don't be ashamed. God loves you. God wants to fill you with His Spirit. Lift up your head, open up your mouth, begin to praise Him. Man, that immediately begins to break down barriers. As soon as I lift up my head and I begin to acknowledge Him, man, there's just something that happens in the Spirit. He's like, wow, that's a vessel I can fill. And so I'm addressing these things. A person who will not worship Ali, I'm addressing that. I must yield to God. God does not talk in tongues. I talk in tongues. I may address that. I may not address that until we've gone in for a couple minutes. But a lot of these things, I'm addressing before we even start praying. One more critical thing I want to share with you, and then I'll take some questions and we'll end. It's very critical when you begin to pray with somebody and you're assisting them and you're telling them and you're communicating with them and they begin to make that transition. They begin to allow the Spirit of God to pray through them. They begin to pray in the Spirit. It's very important at that point in time. I may let them pray in the Spirit for about 20 or 30 seconds and then I'm going to stop them. And I'm going to look them in the eye. I'm going to talk to them and say, do you understand what just happened to you? And whether they say yes or whether they say no, we're going to start again. And I want to help them get back to where they got in that moment of time. If you remember the young man that Brother Norm brought to service a few weeks ago, we prayed with him. There was a group of us that were praying for him to receive the Holy Ghost. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. I stopped him and asked him. I said, do you understand what just happened to you? And he looked at me and he said, nope. And I said, okay, we're going for round two. And so we did. And it wasn't just a couple of minutes. He went right back to that place and then something, it was like it hit him. And man, he began to weep and the Holy Ghost just began to flow through him like a river. He began to find a liberty in that. And we got excited. I walked away from it. And Sister Schoonover was going to close service. And she walks up to him with a mic and says, "Son, what just happened to you?" And I thought, oh, Lord, well, here we go. We're going to find out whether he's got it or not. And he said, "I got the Holy Ghost." He knew it. It wasn't because somebody told him he got it. He knew for himself that he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He received the gift. That's critical. That's so critical. Make sure they know they got it. You can tell them all you want they got it when they're praying and the Spirit's full. That's the Holy Ghost, man. You're receiving the Holy Ghost right now. Come on. That's the Spirit of God. And you're instructing, you're helping them. But they need to know it. They need to understand it. And nothing wrong with stopping them. Because that same utterance that they gave way to, once they start praying again, they'll give way to it again. Brother David and I were in a meeting on Friday night. We witnessed this. The Holy Ghost began to move on a young man who'd received the baptism of the Holy Ghost but just hadn't had a liberty to pray in the Spirit. It was powerful. We began to pray for him. He began to yield himself. The Holy Ghost began to flow through him. We stopped him. I made sure, you understand what just happened, right? The Lord just allowed you to go there. You gave yourself over to that utterance. You began to pray in the Spirit. Yeah, so we started praying again, didn't we? And the Lord began to move on him again. He began to give himself, yield himself. That utterance began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And the whole room broke out. And everybody began to pray together. And there was such a liberty in that. That's key. That's very key, okay? Don't just, I think it's, we do that person an injustice. If we hear them speak in tongues, thank God, woo, and we move on, walk on to the next person. I'd rather one person receive the Holy Ghost, know they got it, and know how they got there so they can go there tomorrow. Then two people get it and both of them leave and say, "Well, I got something today. Praise God, it felt good." Anybody have any questions concerning all this?